Welcome back. Our new theme music you just heard is called O Thou Who Camest From Above, the words of which were written by Charles Wesley, the younger brother of John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church. And the music was written by Charles's grandson, Samuel Sebastian Wesley, over 100 years later. Charles's lyrics were published in 1762, and his grandson's music in 1872. So they're both in the public domain. And since it wasn't too difficult a piece, I played and recorded it myself. And I'm dedicating my performance, if you can call it that, to the public domain, which is where all so-called intellectual property belongs. If you ask me, of course you didn't ask me. Now, I originally found this piece because I was searching for hymns based on texts in Leviticus, which is the book we're going to start studying this time. But the words, and especially the title, seemed highly appropriate for any ancient astronaut interpretation of any book of the Bible. O Thou Who Camest From Above sounds like it could have been written about the Anunnaki. And maybe it was, although neither Charles Wesley nor Samuel Sebastian Wesley saw it that way, I'm pretty sure. The words of the first couple of verses go like this. O Thou Who Camest From Above, the fire celestial to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love upon the altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with ever bright undying blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. That line, with ever bright undying blaze, refers to Leviticus 6:13, which says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. So it's talking about a perpetual flame, kind of like the eternal flame at JFK's grave in Arlington. But the perpetual flame on the altar is a flame of burnt sacrifice to the Yahweh Elohim. The first six chapters of Leviticus give us all the details. Gory as they are, it gets pretty graphic. We'll start at the beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, now notice, the Lord Yahweh, a Yahwehian, was in the tabernacle and called out to Moses. I'm not sure whether he was literally in the tabernacle or whether, you know, it was his transmitted voice, you know, to go along with his hologrammatic image, the one that appeared in the mercy seat of the ark between the wings of the cherubim. But anyway, he spake unto him out of the tabernacle, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Now, when it says a burnt sacrifice of the herd, it just means one from the herd. They're not talking about sacrificing the entire herd. Just one male without blemish. And Christians will point out the similarity of this sacrifice to the sacrifice of Christ, who was a male without blemish, or without sin, in other words. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now, when it says to make atonement for him, it means to atone for his sins. And when they put their hand on the head of the sacrificial animal, they symbolically transferred their sins to that animal and then killed it, symbolically destroying their sin. Now, unfortunately for the animal, the killing caused actual death, not just symbolic death. Of course, you can see again the parallels between the sacrificial animal and Jesus Christ as Christians see him. If you check out the show art, you can see an example of human sins being symbolically transferred to the animal prior to slaughter. And you can see the knife lying at the ready next to the laver. And what is that, a rope? I guess they're going to tie the animal up so it can't get away while they cut its throat. The reason there are 12 guys with their hands on the young bull's head is that this particular ceremony was a national sin of ignorance offering. You can see that in the caption. The whole nation had sinned through ignorance of the law, which, as we know, is no excuse. So there was a representative of each of the 12 tribes who laid on hands and transferred all the sins of ignorance of that tribe to the animal before that knife was used to wash away their sins in a river of blood. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, when it says he shall kill the bullock, it's talking about whoever's offering the sacrifice. In important cases, the high priest might do it, but usually it was whoever was offering the sacrifice. A rich man might offer a bullock, you know, a young bull or a steer. A middle-class man might offer a lamb or a goat, and a poor man might offer a dove or a pigeon. You know, each according to his ability. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his innards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, this is an awful lot of killing just to produce a pleasant smell, I think. Presumably, if Yahweh was really present in the tabernacle, he could eat some of that barbecue as well as enjoy the smell. So I guess we might assume that the voice of the Lord was really just an audio broadcast to go along with the holographic video in the mercy seat of the ark. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. And he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the innards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it unto the altar, and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now we're up to chapter 2. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. Now, why do they call it a meat offering if it doesn't have any meat in it? I mean, an offering of fine flour and oil and spices? Well, I've seen it suggested that meat offering was originally a typo, and it was really supposed to be a meal offering, you know, as in cornmeal, which would make a lot of sense. But we need to check the Hebrew word to see whether it means meat offering or meal offering. And as it turns out, it doesn't mean either one. It just means an offering. And some translations call it a meat offering, and other translations call it a grain offering, and still others just call it an offering. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priests shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. So they burn just a part of it on the altar, and then the priests would eat the rest. Because, yeah, the Yahwehians really only like meat. That's why Cain's offering of vegetables and whatnot was not acceptable to them, but Abel's was. And that's what motivated Cain to kill Abel. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of the flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a pan, it shall be of fine flour unleavened, mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces, and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord, and when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Because, as you may remember, the Yahwehians are yeast intolerant. And apparently they're intolerant to honey as well, which is another known food intolerance. Now, if you want to know whether you're closely related to them, whether you have a lot of Yahwehian DNA, having both a yeast intolerance and a honey intolerance might be a pretty good indicator. As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. Oblation just means offering, by the way. So you offer this offering, but you don't burn it up. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. So instead of producing a sweet savor with these green ears of corn, you just lay them on the grill with their husks still on until you have corn on the cob. Or you can take it off the cob if you want to go to that much trouble. You know, you can beat it out of the full ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Chapter 3. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the innards, and all the fat that is upon the innards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat thereof, and the whole rump, it shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the innards, and all the fat that is upon the innards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat that covereth the innards, and all the fat that is upon the innards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood. So the fat is okay for the Yahwehlians, but not for the people. You know, because too much fat in the diet is unhealthy, obviously. And because, you know, and the prescription against eating blood is because consuming too much blood can cause health problems too, potentially fatal. Hemochromatosis, for example, which is basically too much iron in your blood. So you people that eat a lot of rare steaks might want to keep that in mind. This is really very similar to what we talked about on a previous episode about pork being taboo because of the threat of trichinosis in those days. Now we're up to chapter 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the innards, and all the fat that is upon the innards, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, as it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, with his head, and with his legs, and his innards, and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. So the old nasty stuff gets taken outside of camp and burned rather than burning it on the altar, you know, the dung and so on. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And again, that's what's going on in the show art. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood, and sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I feel like I'm in the house that Jack built. And he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp, and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. When a ruler hath sinned, and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat, and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay it for a sin offering, in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Well, that's the end of chapter 4. So we will pick it up next time at the beginning of the 5th chapter of Leviticus. And hopefully, they have done enough killing for a while. This has really gotten tiresome and terribly repetitive. And I wish they had come up with a way to state all these different categories without having to go through and repeat every little detail that was the same over and over again. Maybe it has something to do with ancient Hebrew, I don't know. Or again, maybe they were repeating things so it could be committed to memory. You just don't know. But like I say, we'll pick it up with the 5th chapter of Leviticus next time. Until then, keep the faith. Follow all the laws, if you know what they are. And if you don't know what they are, remember, that is no excuse. If you do that, there'll have to be some killing done. Maybe out on Highway 61.